Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Unveered here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis, and our special guest, Roger Ver. Roger Ver and his new book that we have been waiting on, Hijacking Bitcoin. Hijackingbitcoin.com. Check it out, because you're going to get the information that nobody else is telling you what's really going on with the people's money. And there's a lot of alternatives out there. No better tell us what's up than Roger Ver. Let's continue our conversation with Roger Ver, hijackingbitcoin.com.
Yeah, well, I'm far from an AI expert, but I'm trying to follow that news as much as I can. And there's absolutely personalized tools coming, or personalized AI agents that you can kind of run on your own computer at this point. Like, not very well and not as high powered as these more centralized ones, but it's coming. Like, it's coming fast and hard, and it's going to be here before we know it, just like everything else. I mean, look at how fast the world is changing. It's only got the rate of change is only going to increase as well. So watch out. It's hard to believe how quickly the world is changing. And again, like, it's only going to change faster and faster. And I think Bitcoin's going to be left behind, but it'll be other cryptocurrencies out there as well.
Okay, Roger is, we've got, pimp the book, man. Definitely get the book. You want to understand the future and where it's going and why, book. But your personal life, how much are you willing to share? How are you doing? You in relationships? You got a favorite place you want to be? You building a house? Is it a smart house? Dumb as hell house? How's your daily life? Tell us about Roger. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I've been stuck at home for the last 5 weeks. I broke my foot rescuing people from a house fire 5 weeks ago.
Really?
So it's been pretty boring for the last 5 weeks. Yeah, so just maybe 3 days ago, I started being able to hobble around the house a bit. So that's been a bit boring, but I'm really eager for my foot to finish healing and then being back out there in life and in the world again. So.
Well, what is life? Well, come on, man. Don't hold out on me. Are you a super windsurfer? Are you, you're a secret astronaut? What are you doing?
My big not-so-secret hobby is Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I'm a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. I did quite a few tournaments last year, and once my foot heals back up, maybe I'll get to do a couple more this year as well. I was wanting to do the World Masters tournament, but my foot broke, so I won't be ready in time for that. But
really?
That's probably my big fun hobby. And, oh, look at that. I remember that. Sprint car racing with Bitcoin.com. Thank you for showing those. Yeah,
I wanted to make sure.
When I was younger, I used to go watch those in person too.
Bitcoin Cash is king. Bitcoin Cash. You know what this was? Here, let's go back to it. This was my son's car. He was a big crypto fan of you and Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin.com. He had a Sprint car here, and he, pimped that. That was a thing, and I remember when that came out. Yeah, I said, Donna, make sure you put that picture in. I know, Roger liked that. But this is... I'm sorry?
I said, I'm smiling from ear to ear. Fantastic. Thank you for putting those photos in.
Yeah, that was there was so much history that we shared on this, but it was a philosophical thing. It was all in support of the freedom of the individual. Who else in the crypto space were well-known and compadres of you other than just pimping Bitcoin because somebody told them to, whatever? The philosophical peers for this advocacy, for this kind of freedom, can you rattle off some names that we might know? Now, who are the good guys?
Yeah, of course, one of the good guys was Eric Voorhees, shares the right philosophy there as well. And then another one was literally Gavin Andreessen, the guy who told the Free Talk Live, you know, Mark and Ian Freeman there about Bitcoin for the first time, who was also the person that when Satoshi disappeared, he left the project with Gavin Andreessen there too. Jeffrey Tucker is another one that has the right philosophy and has been around in Bitcoin for quite a while there as well. And of course, you know, Ernie Hancock, we can't forget him. And Adam Kokesh as well as another. And basically, you know, all these people that were part of the libertarian voluntarists, you know, Leave Me the Heck Alone movement there are the people that had the right philosophy behind this and got involved so early on. And I think they still have the right philosophy. And,
oh, okay. Yeah. Wait,
sad that Bitcoin got hijacked. I want to know all the details.
I want to show you this. This is our next project. I'm Leave Me Aloneism. We, Donna and I, just closed on the property that we're, this is what we're building on 18 acres out in the desert. And I'm like, ooh, it's going to be cool. But, man, we are avoiding the man as much as possible. This philosophy, this battle for land, I don't want to leave this to my grandkids. And I know just as much as you would see that cryptocurrency that has certain features, I'm seeing when they came out and they go, you'll own nothing and here's your happy shot. You know, I was like, man, I know exactly what that means. With cryptocurrency, they don't really have a hold on us as much as they did before. Do you see this was one of the escape velocity that we needed to get out? Is it, this is going to be the much needed tech that we've been waiting on all this time?
It's certainly part of it, but another early Bitcoiner that just had so many great insights was another man named Mike Hearn. And he pointed out that even outlaws can't use an outlaw currency. And so for all of us, you know, libertarian outlaws in the sense that we just want to be left alone and deal with people voluntarily and, you know, not be part of the a cog in the system there, we need cryptocurrencies to be widespread for them to be more useful for us as well. And so whether it's, you know, Bitcoin Cash or Monero or Zcash or, you know, Zeno or something else out there, like, we need to have them not be illegal. It'll be a lot more useful and easier for us to use if they're not outlaw cryptocurrencies.
Well, is there a place, a gathering of, you know, like you're saying, St. Kitts, we've got the Free State Project, but the man made it clear, Free State Project, we don't like it. You know, you're doing Bitcoin what? You know, we're going to come, you know, get you. They put our friends in jail. And it's been interesting that it's more, they don't understand that it's a cultural thing. It's just general public opinion. You know, they are, you know, and I break with thee. And that has so much more power than a lot of things. But is there, we keep getting the threats of Honduras is going to go free. You know, we got the St. Kitts thing. We got, you know, different states, you know, we're going to secede now. If you keep messing with us, we're going to, you know, where do you think in the world that there is a place? Is there one? Is there going to be? Does it matter? You know, we just got to be able to just travel. And with the lockdown and the scamdemic and whatever the heck that was all about, they're trying to flex their muscle of, we can keep you freaking from leaving wherever you're at, and you got to comply and get this shot. And is that going away? Is there a place? Is there hope? Is there some location that people can move to other than New Hampshire, you know, around the world? Is there something on your radar screen?
I think the right strategy for that, and the strategy I'm taking in my own life, is to collect as many passports and citizenships and residencies as you possibly can. So I've been treating them like Pokemon cards, right? The slogan for Pokemon cards is, you got to collect them all. And that's what I've been trying to do with those sorts of things. And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the exciting things that are happening down there in Argentina, where, like, literally, I think it's probably one of the first openly anarcho-capitalist heads of state in Argentina. And so that's pretty exciting. And there's going to be a big big Bitcoin Cash conference in Argentina later this year as well, and a Monero conference down there as well. And I think I'll probably show up to both of those.
Really?
As well. And it's been a long time since I went to Argentina, but I think it's about time for me to head back down there again for both the Monero conference, Monerotopia, and there's a Bitcoin Cash conference that's happening as well. So I think I'll probably head to both of those.
You know, last November we did a little deep dive, an entrepreneur, anarcho-capitalist that was, and she was kind of like, well, Javier, he's kind of rough around the edges. If we only had somebody that, you know, didn't have his Trumpy hair or whatever the hell. I'm going, I don't think you get it. I go, I see he's going to win, and it is going to be on his own terms. It's going to be, because I've seen this kind of thing before, and you know, we've had experience in, you know, when the people rise up and the youth and that kind of stuff. So when he won, she came back on, you know, just a month or two ago, and she's like, yep, you called that. How did you know? I'm like, how did you not know? What were you looking at? And the one thing, when he went to the World Economic Forum, and you guys all suck, I was like, how in the hell did he get that gig? You know what? Then he goes to CPAC. I'm like, woo, anarcho-capitalist. Now I was interviewing Doug Casey. Doug said that one, there was a book, I can't remember the name of, Morning Something, I can't remember. He wanted to make sure that Javier got that. And once Javier read that book, that's when he started calling himself an anarcho-capitalist. And he's Captain ANCAP and all this other crap. So he's slashed the crap out of the budget and the state there and everything. But he said, non-negotiable, the central bank is done. How far along has he got on that? And is this conference of Monero and Bitcoin Cash, is that kind of an answer to their currency? What is going to happen to the banks? What's going on?
So it's been a long time since I've been there in person, but I'll tell you a story about the last time I went there. Right. I was with a bunch of early Bitcoiners. I was there with the, you know, Eric Voorhees and Ira Miller and a bunch of other people, and they put us on a tour bus going around the city of you know, Buenos Aires. And so we're a whole bunch of early Bitcoiners, and there's the real nice, you know, tour bus guide lady that has her little, you know, megaphone thing, and is telling us, you know, coming up here on the left is a, you know, fancy restaurant that people like to go to. Up here on the right is the river and a bridge that was built in whatever year, and everyone's kind of listening and this and that. And then she goes, oh, and coming up here on the left is the central bank building. And everybody on the bus instantly starts going, boo, boo. And this woman was shocked because, you know, she wasn't a libertarian, she wasn't a crypto person, and she couldn't understand why everybody in the bus started booing every time she, you know, pointed out the central bank or any other government building there in Buenos Aires. But we all had a great time on the bus that day. But my understanding is it looks like they're headed actually more towards using the U.S. dollar rather than a cryptocurrency, and USDT, Tether, seems to be the most popular cryptocurrency that they're using there, which I guess is a step in the right direction from what they were using there, but there's still, you know, a lot more steps in an even better direction that they can take.
Okay, one thing we haven't talked about, I definitely want to get your position on, is central bank digital currencies. And I saw...
Run for the hills of St. Kitts, yeah.
I'm sorry?
I said run for the hills of St. Kitts, right? Run.
This is the one thing that I tell you, well, you know, such, you're a crypto guy, don't you think? And I'm going, God, you mean you guys don't get it? You know, I guarantee that they're going to try. From the beginning, a lot of the people you and I know have been hyping up Bitcoin for that role. They wanted that because they think that, you know, Bitcoin's going to shoot to the moon or where it needs state sponsorship, legal tender, help of legacy banking system shoehorned into kind of thing for it to be valuable. And I'm going, the value comes from it not being that, you morons. You know, you just can't. They're so into central command or government, you know, fiat blessing of something that they don't get it. So Bitcoin's going to go away, especially when the dollar goes. It's not going to make any difference. But is Bitcoin going to be used as the central bank digital currency in America or around the world? Are they going to try and take that as its name or whatever?
Yeah, and it's possible. That's my biggest fear at this point, is that all these people that are building on top of BTC, I'm afraid that they're literally building the prison walls around them, and they're going to be building this, you know, digital currency to imprison themselves. And that's a really frightening and frustrating for me to see that going on at this point, because if you're using a custodial wallet, like, that's the point of attack for governments to control everything and monitor you and control everything you're doing. And I think that's one of the biggest problems in crypto at this point, is so many people calling hosted accounts wallets. And it's like one of the biggest, you know, examples is there's this Lightning wallet called Wallet of Satoshi. It's not a wallet, it's an account. And there's another one, Strike, right? That's the official like wallet of El Salvador there. It's not a wallet, it's an account. They can freeze your money at any time, take your funds, like you're not in control yourself. So please, please, please stop calling things that are accounts wallets. If it's a wallet, it's a wallet. If it's an account, it's an account. Don't call accounts wallets. That's doing a disservice to every single person that's winds up being confused by that.
Okay, and, let's talk about El Salvador. I want to. That was a perfect example of what we could see happening. El Salvador, they got, you know, some Bitcoin advocates, Bitcoin Cash, whatever, on the beach, man. That's why I thought, like a Narcopoco, you need to be tipping, you know, put a QR code up for the masseuse on the beach and the vendors and the hat sellers and the balloon people or whatever. Start on the beach. They kept trying to, oh, we need to get the hotel to take it. I go, no, you need the people to do it. When the people start doing it, then it just, you know, everybody's doing it. Well, El Salvador, I think it was El Salvador, they go, all right, we legalize it. It can be legal tender. You can have your ATMs. We can do whatever. But then it was a state-sponsored wallet, which is an account that they can turn on and off, that they can change things on and so on. And people, woohoo, I do crypto in El Salvador, and I got this government-approved wallet. Explain that and what happened.
Government-approved account, not right. Even a wallet, an account.
Well, explain what happened where it is now.
Yeah, well, the big fear there should be is that maybe they're engaging in fractional reserve Bitcoin, right? Maybe the government doesn't have all the Bitcoins that are supposed to be credited to the various people's accounts, right? And then I pointed out to that guy on Twitter the other day, like, say, hey, like, aren't you worried about the fact that, like, everybody's using accounts instead of wallets? And, you know, his only reply was some, I don't know, smart aleck snide remark that didn't answer the question at all. And so, like, the guy behind that wallet has one of the worst attitudes in crypto, I think, actually, to be honest. And, like, man, like, be an adult, like, answer serious questions seriously and take serious criticism seriously. But this guy's busy, you know, building the prison walls, the financial prison walls around the people of El Salvador and maybe the world. And he's, you know, busy bragging about it every step of the way. So really, you know, disappointing to see that.
There was a time I was interviewing Patrick Byrne. He's come on several times. And he goes like this. He said he's spoken at one of our Freedom Summits and everything. So we have an understanding. He's one of us. He's got his own thing. But he goes,
I ran into him just totally by chance about a month ago in an airport and had a real nice catch up with him in January.
He's one of us, you think? I mean, you know, he gets it. You know, he's going after election fraud and, you know, go Trump, you know, but, you know, we'll see. I think it's for the right reasons. But this is what happened. I remember having a mom one time and he was telling me, kind of intimated little news. He goes, after his lawsuit where he challenged naked short selling and got spent $32 million to win 33, that kind of thing. And he got deposition, did discovery and everything on the banks and how this all worked and why he did T0 where the transaction is the settlement, you know, have that 3-day thing. Well, so he was deeply involved in blockchain, a lot of this stuff. And I can't remember, it was 16 or 19. It was January. It was after it was over. And he said he got a call from a VP in Europe and France from Goldman Sachs. And they go, hey, what's it going to take? Yeah, we need dinner tomorrow. Right, we could get on plane first, cloud, kind of water, foot massage the whole way, get your butt over here, got to have a meeting, okay? So he goes to Paris, he sits down with him, the VP goes, straight up, what is our role in the future with cryptocurrency? And he goes, well, you know, how hard do you want to have? Give it to us straight, man, you know, lay me out. And he goes, there is no role for you guys, it's over, you're done. And the guy, and Patrick told me, he said, yeah, it's kind of what we figured. Months before, they had put together a small tech team of like five guys or something that went out, went to a bunch of conferences, talked to a bunch of Bitcoin people, studied code, went and kind of got educated, came back to the board of directors and said, and we're screwed. And if you don't get control of kind of whatever, that is what Patrick understood was going on behind the scenes. The banking industry understood the threat, extinction level threat it was to them with cryptocurrency, and they have to get control of it, or replace it. And this is what I anticipate. You heard it here first, or, you know, before. I am of the opinion that they're going to have central bank digital currency, and call it whatever they're going to call it, and, you know, might as well just be Bitcoin. What's the difference? And they do this, and they're going to make every other crypto counterfeit. This is legal tender, and all y'all aren't. So they're going to go after. They already are, in fact, doing this kind of stuff anyway. But do you think that will happen? Do you think they're going to go, this is legal tender? You win. Bitcoin's legal tender. But everything else, including Bitcoin Cash and everything, is counterfeit. Do you see that coming?
Yeah, I don't know if they'll call it counterfeit, but they'll make it illegal. And we've already seen that happen. So I'm recording this from Seoul, South Korea. Monero and all the privacy coins are already illegal on every exchange in Korea and in Japan and in Singapore. And yeah, so they're preemptively banning cryptos that they really don't like. And so it's already starting to happen, you know, for years ago. It's been ongoing for years already. And I think that's only going to get
when they did Shapeshift, we had Eric Voorhees on right before, and he announced it at the Texas Bitcoin Conference, which was only like 2 weeks after he and I had talked, but he didn't mention it. And I go, Eric, what the hell? He goes, hey, man, it was, you know, secret until now kind of deal. And so we had him on again. We talked about it. But Shapeshift was awesome. You could transfer any crypto to another crypto, the crypto, and you didn't. There was no third party. It was, you know, secret and confidential, and you kind of, it was awesome. So, of course, they had to come after that. Where is Shapeshift now? And if there isn't one, or it's not, you know, viable as a freedom-oriented platform anymore, is there another one like that that's available now?
Yeah, there's multiple ones that are like that. Some of them are even decentralized. The one that I use the most often myself is one called Sideshift.ai, but same sort of thing. But there's a the names are escaping me. It's just before midnight here in Seoul. But there's a bunch of them. Some of them are even decentralized at this point. So like I think we're going to see more and more of that sort of thing.
Sideshift.ai.
Yep, that's one. I think they might ban Americans, but you can buy a VPN with your crypto software there as well. So.
Is there a VPN that's worth the crap? Are you all VPN'd up on one you're endorsing? Because I don't even care anymore. I'm just like, yep, I'm over here, whatever.
Yeah, I used to use private internet access and really like that. I you know, there's a bunch of them out there, and I don't know which one's the best one and which ones are honey traps, and I don't know. But I guess I can give another plug for a Ubiquiti networking equipment. I'm a really big fan. You can VPN into whatever, you know, router you have anywhere in the world with your Ubiquiti equipment. So, like, I'm here in South Korea, but if I want to, I can use my St. Kitts IP address from right here or, you know, whatever other places I have around the world with that sort of thing. So that's
a
pretty cool feature.
Well, how scrutinized are you with your travel? You know, you're coming into the country customs. Roger, sup, man? We got a special star next to your name. I mean, what do you think?
In the U.S., absolutely, without any doubt, I get the really extra special bad treatment, which is why I haven't gone there for a while.
You stand in taint of high treason.
Against whom?
Against your king.
Never in my whole life did I swear allegiance to him.
It matters not. He is your king. Confess, and you may receive a quick death.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
U.S. USA News Update. An Israeli delegation has canceled its visit to Washington following the U.S. decision not to veto a U.N. Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller.
We believe that, number one, a full-scale invasion of Rafah would be a mistake. It would be a mistake not just because of the civilian harm that it would cause, which would be immense.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced the decision Monday, saying that the resolution failed to include a condition for the release of Israeli hostages. Donald Trump says he can now secure a lower bond as he appeals his New York civil fraud trial, with an appeals court reducing it from $454 million to $175 million and giving him 10 days to pay. Boeing CEO David Calhoun Monday announced he would leave the company. It's the latest fallout for the plane maker amid multiple federal probes into its practices following a 737 MAX door blowout in January. John Schaefer, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis, where we're interviewing Roger Ver. Roger Ver has written the book HijackingBitcoin.com, which goes into the details of how, when, where, by whom. It was very interesting to watch this happen live as we would go to many seminars and summits and conventions. You could see what was going on. Well, he details it. And I'll tell you, those wanted to make sure the young entrepreneurial coding people of philosophy or people with just capability were getting paid the big bucks to be able to enslave us all while we had a technology that would have freed us. Do we still have a chance? Are there other alternatives out there? Well, let's find out with our conversation with Roger Ver, hijackingbitcoin.com.
Yeah, I used to use private internet access and really like that. There's a bunch of them out there, and I don't know which one's the best one or which ones are honey traps. And I don't know, but I guess I can give another plug for a Ubiquiti networking equipment. I'm a really big fan. You can VPN into whatever router you have anywhere in the world with your Ubiquiti equipment. So like, I'm here in South Korea, but if I want to, I can use my St. Kitts IP address from right here or whatever other places I have around the world with that sort of thing. So that's
a
pretty cool feature.
Are you with your travel? You're coming into the country customs. Roger, sup, man? We got a special star next to your name. I mean, what do you think?
In the U.S., absolutely, without any doubt, I get the really extra special bad treatment, which is why I haven't gone there for a while. The only other country where I've had any sort of like extra scrutiny maybe would be the U.K., but that only happened one time. But the U.S., every single time I'm guaranteed to be harassed when I enter the U.S.
In what way?
They send me to the secondary and make me wait for multiple hours. And sometimes they interrogate me, sometimes they don't. But like either way, it's going to take, you know, if, you know, let's say I'm flying from Tokyo to San Francisco or something, that's what, I don't know, 8, 9 to 10 hour flight or something like that. They're going to make me wait a couple additional hours once I land in the secondary, like customs processing, like a room. And then, and maybe on top of that, maybe they're going to interrogate me at the end of it. So it's like, I don't need that in my life. I haven't been there for a few years. And I don't know, until they change their policy, I probably don't have much for reason to go there at this point.
They changed their policy. Who? I mean, is it an administration thing? Is it deep state? Is it banking?
No, I hear Malay's cousin maybe is going to run for political office in the U.S., right? Or who knows? Maybe this time around, you know, after Trump got a taste of just how bad this government can treat you, maybe he really will try and drain the swamp this time. Like he didn't last time. Maybe this time will be different. I'm not going to hold my breath, but he sure has gotten you know, the short end of the stick more recently.
Right.
Maybe he feels just... a bit more fed up this time around than he was the last time. So we'll see what happens.
I'm, so are you, all right, got to ask you. I do, since the summer of 15, when Trump came down the escalator, Ron Paul supporting a friend of mine, a doctor here in Scottsdale, he goes, Ernie, I want to come on every week and do the Trump report. Every Thursday, we've been doing the Trump report since 15, which is what, like 8 years, 9 years, a long time, okay? Trump report every week. And the only thing, I go, one, I don't care. It doesn't matter. You're still voting? I mean, that's kind of, you know, the mantra for me, which triggers him, and he goes on into whatever. But the point is that I was looking for Trump to actually do some real things in the first administration, which he did not. Because I think they played his psychology, his ego. He cared what they thought, did, and kind of, you're not allowed something. So, especially after talking to Patrick and so on, Patrick Byrne, a lot of the other people about this, they're of the opinion that they got a team, they're going to come in, and man, it's like we're going to release General Flynn on them or something. I don't know what the heck they're going to do. And they're going to really clean the swamp this time, you know, kind of thing. I've been at this for a long time, 40 years of watching all this, and it's always like James Corbett and I do a show every other week for years, and his big thing is, hopium. You got a dose of hopium, Ernie? I want more bit of hope. He's like, you're not going to get sucked in, are you, Ernie? You know, that kind of thing. So I'm just like, there's always hope, but I'm not counting on it, man. I'm like, how far out in the desert can I get? Because this is, I think, the four horsemen are galloping, and it is war, then famine, then pestilence, then death. And, man, they're all mounted up, and here it comes. What is your... You got to have a positive look on the future for some reason, somehow. Is it just people are becoming more aware? They're seeing it. They're going to neon flash, and I told you so. I'll get to use my pronouns. I told you so. Or, you know, this death, dying, and destruction, 1,000 years of darkness. What's the path that you see coming?
Short answer is I don't know, but I want to avoid the war and the death and destruction and whatever else you said that sounded so horrible there. I plan to avoid all of that, and I plan to do that to the best of my ability and redundancy and you know, have some different places that that look like you have at least the legal ability to go and live if you need to. So if the U.S. really looks like it's going downhill, you know, make sure you at least have the right visas or passports in places to be able to go to, you know, Argentina or you know, South Africa or wherever it is that you want to flee to from, you know, whatever is happening in the world.
So let's end on the, you know, the hijacking Bitcoin track here, because I think this is important. What role do you think you're coming out with the book, people knowing how this happened, the players that did it, the motivations, do you get into that? I mean, dude, can the layman, you know, that doesn't know anything about Bitcoin read your book and go, yeah, well, same old, here they go. But the legacy is that there is this technology that is freedom, you know, minded and oriented towards people to be able to live in a world of abundance. And it's going to include this kind of technology. But your benefit of you doing this now, when things are, man, here it comes, you know, the zombie apocalypse, whatever the hell is going on, but it's going to be decentralization down to the individual that's going to be the salvation, which is people like, you know, like Russell Brand. I go, you watch, he's been talking decentralized, he's going to shoot up, and they're going to shoot him down. I guarantee it, because what he's advocating, what we've been advocating, with all of us are advocating, decentralization of authority down to the individual is the threat. And cryptocurrency is one of the mechanisms for doing that. This is, what's your prediction, you know, that your book is going to play into this awareness? You know, is it a threat to they, them, those? Because I could see, when we had it scheduled for you to come on Friday, we were supposed to do this originally a few days ago, everyone, Microsoft and Linux, it all updated and wiped out, you know, all of, we had to redo our OBS and profile and all. We've been working on it the weekend to get ready for this interview. And I've had this kind of stuff happen before, and it's always about this kind of thing. It's the decentralization down to the individual and freedom, opportunity of oriented, of Roger Ver having to set hours at customs. Well, this is what happens. So you having the book now coming out, what role does it play in going into the future? Is it information? What does it play?
The book is fantastic for someone, even if they've never used Bitcoin or any cryptocurrency ever, they'll still find the book interesting and informative, and they'll be able to, you know, pick it up and be able to understand everything. And it was really bizarre how much trouble we had even finding a publisher that was willing to publish it. And then the moment we got it published, boom, instantly to the very top, you know, bestseller on Amazon already on pre-order. It's not even on sale yet. It's only on pre-order. And it's already, you know, bestseller on Amazon there. But really, really was bizarre just how much pushback there was on some of that. So, but yeah, the book, if you're, you know, hardcore, been in crypto for more than a decade, you'll find the book super informative and learn new things. And if you're someone who's brand new to crypto and doesn't know anything about it, you'll still find it very interesting and informative as well. So the book, just like Bitcoin Cash is for everybody, the Bitcoin Hijacking Bitcoin book is for everybody as well. So please go and give it a read, and you'll really see the whole crypto universe much more clearly after having absorbed the information in that book.
Well, you have with Steve Patterson, what was he in it for, to, you know, your grammar and spelling? I mean, you know, what kind of role did he have?
He was right there side by side with living through the entire thing. And him and his whole team did a bunch of the research for the book. So we had all the citations in place. So, like, nobody can pick up this book and say, oh, this is a pack of lies, because every single claim we have in the book is cited right there with, you know, you can look it up for yourself and check our work. It's all right there. And we welcome the debate and the open discussion, unlike the small blockers that hijacked Bitcoin that did everything they could to censor everything every step of the way.
Do you think there's going to be a debate?
They've already started attacking the book and trying to, like, you know, they haven't even read it yet, right? It's not even out yet, and they're already attacking it. So that just shows
the mentality of the book. So, Roger did it.
Yeah. So go and read the book they don't want you to read, hijackingbitcoin.com.
Guarantee they don't want you to read it. Guarantee you that. I guarantee. We've been through this over the years, and it was, of all the, you know, it started, we had Libertarian Party, Arizona Libertarian newspapers. We had Citizens Taking Initiative, CTI. We had Freedom Speed. All these newspapers, periodically throughout the 90s, we kept republishing a story. And I don't know if you remember it or have seen it, but it was called From Crossbows to Cryptography. Do you remember that?
I think I may have missed that one.
Satoshi, the Nakamoto Institute has it up. When I interviewed those guys, they knew of it. It was like November 87, 88. And the point of the article was that, of course, the king is going to be against cryptography for the same reasons they were against the crossbow, because the peasants could just pick it up.
I have read this article.
Yeah. You know, so that was our first kind of understanding of cryptography being a decentralization down to the individual of privacy and of spending money, why we were, you know, so excited about e-gold. So we could see the digital money spending coming. When Bitcoin technology, blockchain technology hit in 09 or something like that, I remember when that started, right after the Levolution, the first 08 campaign with Dr. Paul, there was a lot of people that understood or had read this article before or understood, as Roger did, what was coming and why it was so important. This had been going on for decades before it actually happened. A lot of us in the freedom community knew this was essential technology to free individuals from the central plan of they, them, those. You'll own nothing and here's your happy shot. I mean, this is what's coming. So the battle is on right not later. This is it. They'll distract you with wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and famine and death and taxes and whatever, all that kind of stuff. But what is feared the most is the philosophy that Roger Ver has been advocating and using as a justification for all the decisions about cryptocurrencies. And this, for him to have experienced it and been on the front lines in debating the biggest, baddest, wanting to make fun of Roger from the whole time, and he got his chest out and not bending an inch, understanding what this was about, then he writes the book, Hijacking Bitcoin, and I guarantee, I haven't read it yet, go get it though, you know, that Hijacking Bitcoin, because it's going to be interesting to me because we lived through it, and there's a whole bunch of behind the scenes, Roger knows way more than I would imagine is going to be in there. From the technology in the book, Hijacking Bitcoin, about, you know, the techno reasons of this and the tech of the tech, how much of it is philosophical? How much is outing these people for what they are?
That's definitely covered, right? And why would people want to do this sort of thing? But if you read the book, you'll have the full story. And I hate to call it in for tonight, though, or anybody. It's past my bedtime. But
yeah,
thank you so much.
We're wrapping
maybe
it up,
I can come back on again with you.
Thank you very much. This is for staying up. You know, I get up early, you stay up late, we get done. This is the commitment Roger has. Roger Ver, hijackingbitcoin.com. Go order it right now. If you read this book, I guarantee you're going to see one of the main, if not the main hub of control that they, them, those have to get control of, because this is freeing technology. And when you find out, Roger, any other freeing technology you get behind, let me know, would you please?
you got it. Thank you so much, Ernie.
Peace, brother. This has been awesome. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Roger Ver, hijackingbitcoin.com. Another great interview that we did just this morning, March 25th, 2024, with Roger Ver. This has been a really good relationship that we've had with Roger and a lot of the people in the crypto crowd, because you could see it from the beginning what attracted so many anarchists, voluntarists, libertarians, people that just wanted to be left alone, all the leave me alonest out there. Cryptocurrency is a mechanism by which you can transact a currency that can't be stopped. You know, there's different levels of surveillance on different cryptos that can do. Some are more anonymous than others, but I think all of them share the trait of you can't stop it. We see what you did. Yeah, but I did it. So this has always been a form of control by they, them, those that won't leave us alone. They want to be able to control your money, your access to it, what you spend, what currency you use to spend, what you spend it on, tracking it, accumulating the data, being able to, you know, affect your social credit score. All of these things are incentives and punishments. Do what Longshanks, the king, the crown, has designed for you. This has been a problem for many freedom-oriented individuals for ever since I've been an adult. And a lot of times you're predisposed to just wanting to be left alone, and the craziness that the collectives go through to make sure that you do exactly as you're told. It's generally give them more control or more power. to make more money. And a lot of times you get, don't they have enough money? It gets to where it's not even a money thing, especially if they can just print it up and do what they want with it. It's a control thing. It's to get you in the corral and your livestock and to be harvested. And once you realize that, you understand why it's so important to be able to operate in a free market with free money, free minds, free money, free people. This is just a perspective that I'm really glad that Roger Ver has written the book, HijackingBitcoin.com. Go check it out. Get it just out of principle. Because it shows, it's already a bestseller. It's in pre-order. It's not even out yet. It'd be another week or so, and it's already bestseller. And the reason is because no one is as versed in exactly what was going on, because you had central planner guys and the other people, and Roger Ver was leading the other people, not to be so central planned, because he got into it, you know, from a perspective. We didn't really touch on it that much, you know, a lot of his experiences as an individual with the man, but he certainly recognized the power of a peer-to-peer transaction that would transmit value without third-party risk. You always hear that third-party risk. What that means is that there's somebody else outside of the transaction that has some control over the transaction. You get a permission slip from the crown, or you're not allowed to use that particular currency or that money or that, you know, where's your taxes and how do we get paid for giving the permission slip for you to pay? The philosophical discussion is very much a driver behind the crypto discussion. That's why if you go to rogerver.com, you'll see, you scroll down and you'll see books that he recommends that had a big impact on his capability to recognize how important this was. This was important to him and to many of us. Once he had some resources, he had money, and he was able to bootstrap a lot of efforts, because we knew that there were different things. You needed to have exchanges. You needed to have wallets. You needed to have the protocol for Bitcoin itself was already out there. It was being used. People were mining on their laptops. The way it works, the reason you had to get more and more powerful machines to be able to mine it, because it was a competition. And it's the way it's designed. And it was designed to work, to function. And then people got in. They didn't want it to function so much. Not like that. They needed central control. To understand the context of all of the news that you're seeing right now, go to freedomsphoenix.com. You spend a few days on there just to and subscribe. You get the free email dispatch, and they're generally two a day, you know, at least one a day, but generally two a day, and you just see the news feed coming across. It's from a libertarian perspective. Now, you'll have, you know, a lot of, you know, comrade says this about that and the fascist government of the, you know, MSN, NBC of whatever the heck. But the reason we select these stories, so you know what's happening, what is they, them, those that won't leave us alone, what is their intent? What do they want to do? What are they working towards? Because if you know where they're going, if you know what it is that they want to accomplish, then you can see all the little things that are changed in law, that is propagandized, that's on social media, that's in the schools, that's in the news, that's in, you know, what your neighbors think, you know, the non-participating characters, the NPCs, just the bodies in your simulated video game that's just there repeating, you know, like you're pulling a string on them, blah, 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 blah. How that happens, why it happens, because there is a clampdown coming. This is an international thing. Everybody's involved. All of the corporation, all of the big tech, all of the countries, they have infiltrated, and they're proud of it, and they'll tell you. You get, you know, the World Economic Forum and, you know, the Build a Bergen secret handshake club, military and industrial educational central bank, New World Order complex of whatever the heck. And they are telling you exactly what they're doing and why. And of course, they want you to be afeared, and you want them to do it. You need them to do it, because if they don't do it, then you might have to do something yourself. So we understand in the liberty community and the freedom battle that's been going on, how important it was to be able to have the people's money that didn't have a third-party risk, that didn't have a central plan for you, that didn't be able to track your purchases and your selling and your trades and your market to know where you were weak. Put you on the social credit score list of you're doing it wrong. These are so real, and it's so happening right so right freaking not later, that we got to fear. And I mentioned it in the show, you know, the four horsemen. And biblically, what were the four horsemen? What did they represent? They represented war. I think the first one was war. Then you get, you know, famine, which always, you know, around war, you know, it's always going to be a food thing. Guarantee it's going to be a food thing. And without nutrition and you're not healthy, here comes pestilence. There's going to be disease and dying from things that if you just had a sandwich, you know, you might not be susceptible to your immune system, and you die from, you know, simple infections and so on. And then death, war, famine, pestilence, death. And what is a very good hedge against all that? A free market. The answer is always, yeah, I need it. Yep, got it right here. You can buy and pay with this kind of, nobody knows none of the business, and you're thriving. It's all good. And you have the freedom to build your own home. You know, occupytheland.org. Occupy the freaking land. You know, we were just out this weekend with architect Sean and his son from San Diego came out to camp out overnight on our land that we just purchased last week. And it's been just over a week that we closed on it. And we needed to just, you know, make sure the orientation of the house is right, and as the architect designs it and direction, and Donna's happy with the views, and we get a building. But I got to worry about a permission slip. How I can orient, how big it's going to be, what is it, on 18 acres? An itty-bitty little house, they're going to tell me what's up? Yeah, this is what we're fighting, what we've always been fighting. We're fighting for not just our freedom, not just our peace of mind, not just our survivability, but for generations to come. 4 kids, 12 grandkids, we're in. This is the battle that we're, and I tell you, a cryptocurrency, people's money, commodities that aren't manipulated by making it an ETF and making it, you have an ETF and you're turning cryptocurrency into paper, just like they did gold and silver. We're trying to prevent it. And this book, HijackingBitcoin.com, I think you will find that it needs to be a movie. Yep. A movie. Thanks for spending time with us, and hopefully you'll check out more. There's all kinds of videos of Roger Ver explaining it to everybody. But go get his book just out of support for him writing it. HijackingBitcoin.com. Peace.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer, and we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case, and they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.